Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Drop a Deuce podcast. My name is Daniel Keenis. I am here with my co-host Frank Todd. Frank, how are you today?
You know, I'm great. We had a great weekend of sports, so nothing to complain about.
I mean, there's some to complain about. Just like, you know, Patrick Mahomes getting a concussion, but you know, what can you do about that?
No, I'm not complaining. Go Bills, baby.
I have the Bills winning the Super Bowl in one of mine. I have them beating the Buccaneers in the Super Bowl.
Listen, we're Bills Mafia podcast this year, clearly, but we're going to get into that a little bit later. I think we should start off with talking a little NBA.
Oh, I'd love to talk about some NBA.
During last week's episode, we had a little bit of a cluster when we were talking about this because there was that really complicated four-team trade. So how do you think that four-team trade is going to shake up?
I think the Rockets did a fantastic job.
They got a good core for now to make it at least interesting. And they also have a ton of picks for the future. I mean, they could re-sign Oladipo. Who knows?
They could. I think the Oladipo and John Wall combo is actually pretty interesting. I don't think they're doing fantastic right now. I haven't seen how it's
they're
gone
4-7.
So let's see, they're 4-7. They're in the Western.
They're
Conference.
0-1 since the trade.
Oh, and they got romped by the Spurs.
It's only 12.
It's only 12. You know,
but John Wall wasn't. But John Wall isn't playing right now.
Yeah, I think what's interesting about that trade is that the Nets looked really good in their first game with James Harden.
I should get the Rockets a little correct, though. No Depot, no Harden, obviously, since he got traded. No Depot, he didn't play. No Wall, he didn't play. He only was by 12. It's not bad.
I'm looking at the NBA standings right now. I think one thing that comes to my mind looking from this in an environmental standpoint, like the entirety of the teams, like league ground, there doesn't look like there's going to be that many teams that run away with games this year. So what I mean there is that I don't think there's going to be like, for example, an 81-1 or like a 72-9 team or something, because I think the lack of fans is going to make all of these games a lot more neutral, and I think the winning percentage is going to drop a lot this year.
I mean, I don't think we'll see a 70-win team, but I think we'll see a couple 60-win teams. I think the Lakers
going to win 60. Lakers are 11-3. They don't lose. The
Bucks will probably win 60.
Bucks, I could see it. Celtics are. I'm surprised the Celtics are still 8-4. I feel like
the thing about the Celtics is, you got to take everything with them with a grain of salt right now. Yeah, they lost to the Knicks by 30. That was a horrible, horrible loss. They don't have Tatum, and that was Kemba's first game back after only a little bit practicing. So they're not really fully in form yet. I mean, you have Tristan Thompson and Peyton Pritchard playing major minutes due to COVID issues more than they usually would play. So that makes a big difference.
Are you surprised by the Knicks being 7-8?
Yeah, I'm very surprised that the Knicks are 7-8. I mean, they suck.
They lost 5 straight games and then end up beating the Celtics, and they beat the Magic today. They're very streaky. I'm not sure if that's a good or a bad thing, but they don't look horrible, and that's the issue.
I mean, yeah, they're looking okay. They looked great this weekend, honestly, when you beat the Celtics by 30. We'll see what they can do for the long run. They got Toppin starting to come back from his injury, which is going to be interesting. They beat the Magic earlier this morning by 7. I mean, Randle had a good game again, 21 points.
Julius Randle's their star out of nowhere.
Julius Randle and RJ Barrett are both having very good years, and I think once Toppin gets kind of healthy and starts getting regular minutes in, he's going to be another star for them.
I think Obi Toppin was a great pick by the Knicks. I think they needed kind of like a big presence. You can get I guess you can get along in the NBA with like average point guards. So like also you do have Austin Rivers and you have like that's basically all they have. But I feel like if they're gonna be a great team or at least a good team, they need those power forwards and centers to. Jesus Christ, I'm looking at their roster, and it's just a bunch of throwbacks. Like
hey, Alfred Payton. Alfred Payton's a beast.
I mean, wait, who?
Alfred Payton?
Oh, yeah, from Louisiana Lafayette.
Former Magic.
Yeah, but because I'm looking at this at their team, and it's RJ Barrett, Taj Gibson, Nerlens Noel, Julius Randle, Austin Rivers, and Obi Toppin. Like, these are all guys that were fantastic in college, and they just can't do anything in the NBA.
Did you say, I was looking at Alfred Payne's stat lines. Did you talk about Kevin Knox?
I don't know who the Knox is.
Kevin Knox was on one of those really good Kentucky teams.
Oh, but he must have been like a something.
I mean, he was a second or third. He was okay in college. He wasn't great.
That's not too bad. But, okay, so the one thing I wanted to talk about and the thing sweeping, and I guess the storyline sweeping the NBA, what do you do about all these postponements?
I mean, it's something you're going to have to deal with, because the problem is with the NBA, it's the same thing that NBA, MLB, and NHL have to deal with that the NFL doesn't, because the NFL is only once a week. Well, those three are every day. When there's a postponement, you're going to have to figure out how to make it up at the end, and you're probably going to have to turn to winning percentage to see who gets in the playoffs. With COVID the way it is right now, you can't assume everyone's going to play a flat 82 games.
I think some teams might end up playing more than 82 games, because you might need to schedule like two or three games right at the end. And if you're, again, I think if you're right on the playoff line, I would want to get as many games in as possible.
I think 82 is going to be the max, and I think they're going to get a winning. I think at the end of the day, they're going to end up going to winning percentage. As long as everyone plays like 30 or 40 games, which is half the season, 40 games is half the season, so everyone should play that, winning percentage plays out. It's not like you're going to have a 4-0 team who doesn't play the rest of the season. So winning percentage is trusty.
God, can you imagine one team playing one game like, oh my gosh, they're the one seed. They beat the
Pistons.
I think
that's the strategy that Indiana should go with next year. Let's go 1-0 in the Big Ten, guarantee yourself a spot in the Big Ten Finals, and then just not play.
Well, I don't want to get into the Indiana debate. Oh my gosh. All right.
Well, should we do our first time in the season, some talking NHL?
I've been waiting months to talk about the NHL.
Some talking hockey. Well, so this year is really different in the NHL because of these division alignments. So if you look at a team, like I'm going to just use the Columbus Blue Jackets as an example here because they just played this morning. They started 0-2 to the they lost their first two games to the Predators. I mean, in a normal year, losing two games to a team is like, oh, shit. But, I mean, they played the Predators another four times in the month of February alone. So it's kind of like, this is not that big of a deal as long as you bounce back.
I'm looking.
I did a quick look through. They have at least another six games against the Predators, at least.
So I'm looking right now, and I think one of the most interesting things is that there are 2, 4, 6. So out of the 30 teams, there are six teams that got out of, I guess, like the first weekend of the NHL play undefeated. So I guess I was assuming if you win the first game, maybe there's a good chance you'll win the second game. But I think we might see that a lot, where there's a lot of split series.
Well, again, if you use like I'm going to use a team like the Bruins and the Devils, for example. You almost saw the split. The Bruins won the first game in a shootout, then lost in OT. That's about as even as you can possibly get for opening weekend.
I think there's going to be a lot of a lot of these like splits, and that's what's going to make betting on it so interesting, is that in the NHL, you have these sometimes massive money lines. So, like, for example, the Knights were playing the Ducks, I believe, this weekend. And they were -225 favorites, like, the entire day. So, both days. I think they were -220 and then -240 yesterday. But again, they barely win those games. So I think betting on the underdogs in the NHL might be a good move. I don't know.
Listen, since you brought up betting, I just want to bring this up. I had a perfect record betting on the NHL this year. I'm 1-0. Perfect.
Who'd you win
on? I bet on the Blue Jackets to win in regulation this morning.
Oh, sheesh. They were down what?
Hey, early more. They were down 1-0, and then they went up 3-1. Gave up a goal with under a minute left to play, and I was like, "Oh, please don't give up another one."
I would have been terrified. I was very terrified.
Started
betting no overtime in NHL, and that was just rough.
I mean, yeah, that's kind of the same thing. I bet on the Blue Jackets to win in regulation, so if it went to overtime, I lost.
Yeah, that's where it gets rough.
There was a bet I was looking at today for the NHL, and I know they do this for the MLB too. It's a little different though. It's called a Grand Salami, and it's betting on who's going to have more goals for an entire day combined.
The home or away?
The home teams or the away teams?
I think you would have to see. I think home's normally a good bet on that.
If home is like -140 favorites. I'm going to be really interesting to what happens. So I mean, I'm kind of looking through the games right now. Home teams do have a majority of favorites, but if you count the – so there's 10 games today. And if you count the Blue Jackets, that means there – since they were a game today, technically, that means there's 2, 3, 4, 5 away teams as the favorite, with one home team as basically a push, with the Oilers being -110. Hmm.
Interesting.
Sure, you know the Oilers are underdogs. That makes it up. So 6 of the 10 games, the away teams are favorites.
But it's still -140 for the home team?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at your home teams, it's better teams. Like the Maple Leafs are home team today. Flyers are home team.
The Knights are playing the Coyotes.
Yeah, you got some more dominant matchups like the Knights, Coyotes, or Blues, Sharks at home. And then you have some home team, away teams like the Bruins and Islanders, who the Bruins are the favorite as an away team, but it's going to be a tighter finish.
This is interesting. I think the NHL, I believe, is the best or second best run. What's league? I think. Because they did the bubble format for the playoffs really well. They had a really good playoff format. They're doing a great job this year so far. But
go ahead, sorry.
Or I think that whoever, if it's not the NHL, it would have to be the NBA.
Yeah. Well, so here's the thing is, you talk about postponements in the NBA. It's the first week. The Stars had 3 games postponed.
Jesus.
The Stars had a game against four games postponed, according to this. They had 2 games against the Panthers and 2 against the Lightning, which will cover all the way till Friday the 22nd. That's a rough start. I mean, you have the team like the Blackhawks, who kind of are needing and kind of need a postponement, seeing as they started 0-3, giving up 5 goals in all 3 games.
I know so many Blackhawks fans, and...
Dude, we go to a Midwest school. Of course,
I know. I just wish. We also go to a school where every single person is like from Chicago.
Yeah, but and you got to compare it. So the reason the NHL is different than the NBA or the NFL, and I'm not including MLB because it lines up with the NHL here. There is no NHL team in Indiana.
Yeah.
So who are they going to root? Who are they going to root for? Of course, they're going to tend towards the Chicago teams. It's the same thing you see in the MLB. They depending on where in the state they are. They tend to go for either a Chicago team or the Cardinals, depending on where they are. Like, somewhere in Bloomington are probably going to end up being a little mixture of both. But if you go to somewhere more in the north, like I have a friend from Valparaiso who's a big Cubs fan.
Or the – I'm surprised there aren't that many Reds fans in Indiana. Because I feel like that's the closest team.
Well, first of all, there aren't many Reds fans in general.
Okay, yeah. But I was like, that is the quote-unquote closest team.
Yeah. I mean, it is the closest, but again, it's also I'm not going to shit on the Reds. I like the Reds last year. They're a young, exciting
team. They're nice. They seem like good people. That's all I can say.
But it's also Cincinnati professional sports. Does anyone really care about Cincinnati professional sports?
I'm surprised that Cincinnati has two professional sports teams.
Yeah, that's a little crazy. So here's a question I was wondering about the NHL today. And really, since the start of the season. So, as everyone knows, there's going to be the new team with the greatest name in all professional sports, Seattle Kraken, coming into play next year. Is there more pressure for performance this year so you don't get put up for availability in the expansion draft? Because, I mean, if you think a team who is consistently dominant, like we're going to use the Knights since they've been good since they came in the league, are the Lightning, who are great. If you're on one of those two teams, do you have more pressure to perform this year so you get protected and don't have to leave a good situation and start from scratch?
Yeah, absolutely. Because you're only allowed to save basically like your first two lines, if I remember correctly, from the last one. So
I think it's a weird number of players.
You get to save like 10 players. So like you get to keep your core. But then the issue is if you keep your core, you give up some of the new guys. Or if you keep some of the new guys, you're like, okay, they're going to be really good. Then you have to give up the scrubs, basically. I don't – like, it's tough. Or, like the veterans. Like, the Knights, when they got in the league, they got McFlurry. I always call him McFlurry. Marc-Andre Fleury, because he – I guess how would I like he was the Penguins starter, and then he's still really good, but the Penguins went with Tuukka Rask, who is even better. Wait, was no Tuukka Rask is on the Bruins. They used some other guy. And then we also got James Neal, and we got Shea Theodore and William Karlsson. Like, all these guys that are playing fantastic now were either washed up or got a second chance because they were drafted in the expansion draft. So I think actually sometimes there's that little resentment in the playoffs or in the season after, like your first season with the new team, because you know when you're playing these guys that they didn't really want you. They wanted other people more. So you kind of get that angst.
Yeah, exactly. So it definitely creates an interesting dynamic for when you're trying to perform, because you either want to get out, so you like, hey, if I suck, I suck, or like, I want to be in this dynasty, I want to be on this team.
Vegas might be a dynasty right now, for some reason.
They're one in the making. I mean, they're definitely performing at a high level.
So I guess it'll be really interesting to see who the Kraken get. I'm excited because they have cool uniforms too.
I mean, I'm gonna buy Kraken.
I'm gonna buy multiple Kraken.
Just 90% of it's for the name. I just love the name, and 10% is I like their color scheme.
The navy, red, and like light blue. Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, I really like the color scheme.
Okay, so do you want to take our first commercial break and then head out?
Our first and only commercial break?
Whatever.
Yeah, let's do it. Take two, and we're back.
And I am happy to be back. Frank, do you want to talk about some NCAA basketball action?
I think we should. And first, I just want to start off with this, right? If you listened to me and you bet on Texas Tech last week, you would have made a lot of money.
Texas Tech, so what? They won against Texas and then lost in a close one against Baylor.
Correct. So that was straight off at the Big 12. It's the best conference in basketball by far, and Texas Tech is a severely underrated team.
Texas Tech, I'd actually agree with that, is severely underrated. Do we keep forgetting that they were in the national championship game?
Like,
last time that
was
national championship.
So after a win over a top four team in Texas and a loss to a team in the number who's number two in the country, you move up to 12. I like that. I like that. I think Texas probably should have dropped a little more after the loss than they did one spot, but.
Texas Tech has only lost to Kansas, Baylor, and Oklahoma State. And Oklahoma State is a good basketball team. They're what, 3-3? So I think it's impressive in the Big 12 if you are above 500 or at least at 500. I mean, that's
the Big 12 still has Baylor, Texas, and Kansas in the top 10. And then you have Texas Tech in West Virginia in the top 15, the third of the top 15. I think they are getting plenty of respect this year.
They are, and I'm happy they are too. I think we used to be a very big 10 podcast, but honestly, the Big 10 is it's kind of lackluster.
I mean, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. No one in the Big 10 is outstanding. But no one in the Big Ten no one in the Big Ten really sucks except for like Nebraska and Penn State. Everyone is about average. And like we said, they're going to eat each other up. We saw it this weekend. Minnesota blew out Michigan.
I was a big Michigan, supporter. I feel so lost.
I mean, we had two upsets. I'm not going to really call them a bit real upset because it's top 25 teams in the Big Ten on Saturday. You had Ohio State beat Illinois, and then you had Minnesota beat Michigan. Everyone in the Big Ten is average, and that's why you see things like that happen.
I think – so what? We have Iowa at 4, Michigan at 7, Wisconsin at 10, Ohio State at 15 – Minnesota at 17, which I still think they're too high for being 4-4 in conference.
And then Illinois at 22.
Illinois has dropped. They used to be like a top. They were a top three team.
Yeah, well, I mean, they keep losing. So here's the thing: is if you compare us to the Big Ten or Big 12, since we've been talking about each conference has 5 ranked teams, and each have 3 of the top 10. The difference is that. The Big 12 has 5 in the top 15, and ours are 2 or much lower. So both conferences are good, but the Big 12 is by far the best.
The Big 12 is a little bit deeper on the top half.
Yes. But then, I mean, you compare it to someone like the ACC, who is having just a horrid year. Duke and UNC, hang on, I want to find this exact stat. They're both not ranked for the first time together in a really long time. I got an ESPN alert about today. I will find it. I think it's 1996.
Wow.
That's what I'm guessing. 20. I'm pretty sure that's what I saw. But Duke, this is Duke's first time not in the ranking since 2016.
Which is crazy because everyone goes to Duke to go win national championships, and they're not really doing that.
They haven't won a national championship in a long. Oh, sorry, I was way off. They aren't ranked for the first time since 1982.
Jesus Christ!
Yeah, that's ridiculous. So if you look at it, they only have 3 teams in the top 25 right now. It's UVA at 13, Voltech at 16, and Clemson at 20, who, personally, I think Clemson shouldn't be ranked anymore. But that Clemson just isn't as impressive. Yeah. Well, here's the thing is, I'm of a belief that if you're a top 25 team who loses to another top 25 team by over 30, you should drop out of the rankings. I don't care what you're ranked. If you lose to another top 25 team by over 30, you should drop out of the rankings. Wisconsin should have dropped out of the rankings for losing by 30 to Michigan just for a week, and then you can put them back in.
But no, they moved down a single spot.
Yeah, they should have moved down more. But, I mean, Clemson lost by 35 to UVA on Saturday, where they gave up 85 points, and they dropped from 12 to in the 20s, which is reasonable.
I think one of the best teams who's low is UCLA.
They're really underrated and they're really sneaky. But hang on, I just need to go back to give you a Clemson for 1 second here, because even teams like St. Francis, Pennsylvania, and Kent State held, and William and Mary held UVA to under 80 points. So that just needs to be stated.
I don't understand the thing about AP rankings. I know it's like 50 or so people get to go and make their own top 25 to make them feel involved. But I think with that, it just becomes biased in that you're scared to move a team down a lot if you had them ranked in the top 12. I think
that does happen, but with college basketball, it's much tougher. It's because it's so fluid with teams playing every day. So, I mean, Gonzaga could go lose tonight and then still end up with 3 wins this week.
I don't think
Gonzaga plays tonight. I just picked some random example, by the way.
Gonzaga is not losing a game this season.
I just picked a random example. Yeah. But, yeah. So, the thing is, though, at the end of the day, I'm not going to complain about the AP because they're still less corrupt than the college football playoff.
I trust the AP more than I trust the college football playoff. I will give you
that. I like the idea of a coaches poll, but I think you do get some bias. And no matter what you do, you're going to get bias in ranking systems. We saw a play out in college football. Dabo made a big public spec. He was like, I won't put Ohio State in my top 10. They're number 11 in my coaching pool. Yeah. And they get their asses kicked by Ohio State.
Yeah.
So that's the problem. Again, I'm a big Dabo Sweeney fan, but you have idiots like him who make the coaching pool untrustable. So at the end of the day, who are you going to trust make rankings? Because everyone's corrupt.
Well, rankings like shouldn't be a thing, but I guess they're something that to draw popularity to a specific thing. So like there are college and university rankings. There are, and like it's a huge deal if you get on if you get like a high ranking there. Same thing with college basketball or like power rankings in the.
Well, I like the idea of rankings because it shows competitiveness. It draws people, the best out of people to win. Like we're the number one tennis podcast based on two college students.
Exactly. I'm sure once we have work a website, for that, we'll do that. We're gonna make tennis so, power ranking podcasts.
Two more topics I want to talk about in college basketball, because, I mean, we could talk about Gonzaga being better than everyone forever before we move on. The first one is Creighton. They cannot keep losing in the Big East if they want to be respected.
Or if they want to literally just make the tournament.
I mean, here's the thing. They're going to make the tournament anyways, because – a lot of Big East teams make the tournament, and they're still not that bad. They're still a top 15 team. They're 6-2.
I'm surprised that
they're 10-3. They're 6-2 in the Big East.
I'm surprised that they only dropped 3 spots after losing to Butler when they were up 14.
They probably should have dropped more, but again, same thing you see is they're a top 10 team. You can't punish them too much when they're coming off a nice run there. I mean, they've played good games.
I think
they went down to the wire against Kansas. They beat Xavier. Like, they've done what they need to, which is why they only dropped 3 spots.
I'm content. I'm happy to see UConn doing well because they haven't been good at basketball in a bit.
Yeah. I never like UConn succeeding because I just hate the school of UConn. But that's for other reasons.
I had an opportunity to play tennis at UConn, so I don't hate them that much. Their tennis coach is cool, but like that's about it. I still didn't go.
Well, of course we're 2 IU students.
Of course we're 2 IU students.
So the last topic I want to talk about in college basketball is IU. When can we fire Archie Miller, and why can't it be right now? He sucks. He needs to go.
Well, the thing is. So I know he has to go because IU got manhandled by Purdue. IU basketball.
He hasn't beaten Purdue yet. He has yet to have a win at Purdue in his IU tenure.
I think you fire him at the end of this season or the next season because you can't because he has the contract and like you don't need to renew the contract. He's had 5 years. The issue becomes, who do you get to replace him? And I think Steve Alford at Nevada would be a fantastic pick. Guy played for IU.
I would love Alford. I wanted him the first time. I don't think he's going to come back to IU ever.
Why not?
I don't know. I just get that vibe from him that he doesn't like IU anymore.
He's an Indiana guy through and through. He was raised in Indiana. It was his dream to come to IU. I mean, I guess he was Bobby Knight's favorite. So I feel like you can learn. And also, you could use some of the Bobby Knight's techniques of not hitting people.
I think that's why he's not going to like Indiana is how Bobby Knight's situation was handled. Maybe he'll like him more now that Knight came back. But he's a Knight guy, and there were some Knight people who didn't like how it was all handled with him being fired. But, I mean, he choked a person. Of course you have to fucking fire him.
I loved that 30 for 30. That was so funny.
I got to watch that in early release on campus with the directors.
Really?
Yeah, they did an early release event, like 2 days early. Nothing really. Nothing too special. With the directors and the media school. And because I was sports management, we were all the people who got together.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was awesome. But yeah, so I don't know what's going to happen with them, but Archie needs to go. You can't be winless against Purdue in 4 years and stay. Hasn't made a tournament. Sure, we have a couple big wins, but we're in the Big Ten. Those wins aren't special.
They're just how do you say? Like, it's just it's expected. Like, you're expected to get a few big wins during the year.
We are hosting the big tournament, the March Madness this year. We are hosting it. If we are the hosts and don't make it, bye-bye, Archie. Don't let the door hit you on the way out.
But then, I guess, I know Dan Dockich would come out of nowhere and just absolutely love to be the next IU coach. I don't want to see him get it. I'm sure he's a great guy. But you need someone.
Would Dockich be a good coach? No. Would it be very entertaining? Yes. Hell yeah.
Well, because in 2008, he had those three games where we lost to Minnesota, Arkansas, and, like, Wisconsin or something, where he was coached when Calvin Sampson got fired. But I think you got to get an Indiana guy because you haven't had an Indiana guy. You haven't had a guy who loves IU coaching Indiana basketball in forever. Like, people are saying you should get Jim Boeheim.
No, we do not need Boeheim. Boeheim is 900,000 years old and would probably retire in a day. I think that there is no clear answer. I mean, I would love a wild card pick out of nowhere, like Isaiah Thomas. A former stud player
Juwan Howard?
Who's still passionate.
Yeah, Juwan Howard started coaching at Michigan. I think
who's the Georgetown coach? I'm going to kill myself for not knowing this. He's a huge – no, Georgetown.
Oh, I thought you said Georgia. I'm like, yeah, let's just go get Tom Crean back.
No, it's he's a big former NBA player. It's going to bother me. It's Ewing.
He's not leaving Georgetown.
No, but I was going to use Ewing as an example, going and getting a big former NBA player like Ewing.
I mean, I don't think Isaiah Thomas has any coaching experience, though.
I don't think Ewing had any coaching experience. And I mean, he's working after Georgetown. But again, he has a mind that can work for the tournament, can work for the basketball, and can recruit because, think about it, if Isaiah Thomas walks through that door, yeah, people are going
to
be excited.
I mean, that is true. I'm not sure. So he played at IU, led them to the 1981 championship as a sophomore, declared for the NBA draft right afterwards. Then he started playing for the Pistons. I'm trying to look for his coaching career.
He doesn't have one.
on April 14th, Thomas accepted an offer to become the head coach at FIU. Thomas, blah, blah, blah. After posting a 7-25 record in his first season, Thomas announced he was taking a job as a consultant for the New York Knicks and left. So he was a coach. He coached FIU and won seven games.
I didn't realize that. I mean, again, do I think he would actually be a good coach? Probably not.
Well, at least not but... like the first year and a half. But I feel like he could definitely get there. You have those IU one with Knight. Get that. It's the same thing. You want the Knight coaching tree. You want the Belichick coaching tree. You want the Saban coaching tree.
I also think Isaiah Thomas has a winner's mentality.
He has an identity. I think, and that's what IU doesn't have, is that you have all these guys who aren't being tough, and then you have in comes Isaiah Thomas, one of the Detroit bad boys. Oh my god.
No, we have an identity. It's shitty play calling.
It's shitty playing in general. It's shooting as many threes as possible and not making any.
All right. Moving on. I can't. I don't want to talk about him anymore because he'll piss me off. Let's go back to our roots, Daniel. Let's talk a little Tennessee here because there was a big story this weekend on how the ATP players and WTA players got exposed to COVID trying to fly to Australia.
Is there going to be an Australian Open? All right, I lost Frank, so I guess I'm on my own right here. The big question is there going to be an Australian Open? Are they going to be able to quarantine, and with potentially 74 people getting coronavirus, if they are going to be able to host
by hitting against like windows, their mattresses and things like that? And there were people commenting from Australia on this video pissed off that they're still doing the tournament. So you're going to bring COVID here. They already brought it here. It's like, no, some other idiot on the flight did. It was not an ATP player or a WTA player who had it. Jesus, it was a tourist who exposed them all.
Oh, I love people. So you kind of cut out there for a second. So
sorry, I was watching a TikTok to get the three names. But yes.
Okay, so I know they're quarantining there. So do you think they maybe cancel a few tournaments and then
probably more lead up ones? But I mean, they actually don't think it will change too much because they were already going to have to quarantine in Australia when they got there for a certain number of days. These three players is just longer now because they were actually exposed, but they're still going to be done quarantining with a week to spare. So I mean, those have to do a week of intensive training.
They'll be able to play.
I don't think it will change much, personally.
I guess I kind of forgot. So it's coming up, right? So I think Australian Open starts in like 2 weeks, 3 weeks.
It's the second week. I'm pulling up the ATP calendar right now just because I don't need to check it with the ATP Cup date. So you have right now, there's a tournament called... So there's some challenger going on, nothing in the ATP level. Then you have the Murray River Open in Australia, the Great Ocean Road Open in Australia the same week, both in Melbourne. Then you have the ATP Cup, which is from the 1st of February to the 5th of February. Then you have the Australian Open starting the 8th. So Australian Open starts the day after the Super Bowl. So we're still a solid 3 weeks away.
But I'm there. I'm here for it.
So, yeah, I mean, there's still time for these players to start quarantining. I mean, you're going to see them all start to head to Australia probably this week, end of this week, and starting next.
Yeah, because they have to invest that time. They have to be pretty cautious about that.
Well, yeah, you have to do your mandatory quarantine. And, I mean, if you think of it, a lot of these players have to be done by the FA Cup. Or not the FA Cup, that's soccer. The ATP Cup, because they need to be playing in that tournament, too. Since it's a whole big spiel before the start of the season.
That's also a huge thing for points, too.
It is, but I mean, come on. Davis Cup's the one that matters.
Davis Cup's ATP Cup you just do for a little bit of points and a lot of money. And just call it a day.
And I mean, so if you look at it, so the only confirmed player that I've seen from the ATP side in it is Cuevas, and I don't even think Cuevas is on a team for the FA Cup, so I don't think it will change that much.
For the ATP Cup?
Yeah.
Oh, well, he's Argentinian, I believe.
He's not on Team Argentina, though.
That's weird.
Team Argentina, Schwartzman, Guido Pela, Horacio Zabios, and Maximo Gonzalez.
Wait, I'm looking. Is he...
I'm on the ATP website. I'm looking at it.
Pablo Cuevas is Uruguayan.
Oh, okay.
I don't think there's a team Uruguay, though.
Yeah, there's not a team Uruguay. It's Argentina, Australia, Austria, Canada, France, Germany, Greece, Italy, Japan, Russia, Serbia, no shock, and Spain.
Interesting. I don't know. I guess I'm not really I'm not really caught up on the ATP Cup. Because I guess this is only the second year it's happened, so.
Yeah. Sorry, to interrupt real quick. I think we should do a quick breaking news college football segment. Because I didn't know what was going on. What is happening with Tennessee?
Oh, Tennessee fired Jeremy Pruitt today.
They just fired 9 more staffers, though.
Oh, because there was recruiting violations.
Oh, okay. Well, pretty much everyone in tied with Tennessee football has been fired.
I wonder if we're... Well, okay, so basically that eliminates our loss in the Gator Bowl a few years ago, right?
Yeah, exactly. So the Gator Bowl loss is now null and void because Tennessee cheated. So go Hoosiers.
So, I'm looking up right now. Jeremy Pruitt fired his Tennessee football coach cause for internal investigation. Oklahoma lands Tennessee transfer Wanya Morris. So basically everyone from Tennessee is going to be transferring.
So I just got an alert from Bleacher Report, which may bring it up. 2 more assistant coachings were among the firing. Kevin Steele is going to serve as the interim head coach. And the UT chancellor said the number of violations is disturbing.
Whole
thing is, their whole program is screwed up.
I can't wait for this. I'm so excited because, like, fuck Tennessee. Just fuck Tennessee. Yeah,
fuck them and fuck Peyton Manning. All right? I think it's time we talk some NFL.
Yeah, let's end with some good NFL action.
Let's go. First of all, it was a great weekend for the NFL. All 4 games were at least entertaining. I know the Packers won by a lot, but it was good. Still an entertaining game.
It was close until the end.
Yeah, so we're going to go in order here. We're going to start with the Packers game. And Aaron Rodgers is really fucking good.
Aaron Rodgers can do whatever he wants on the football field. It doesn't really matter
with
now.
With no effort at all.
This is the first time he's had weapons, like true weapons, and he's been able to use them. So, like, he had Jordan Nelson, he had everything. But he has such a dynamic offense now. So he has, I think it's great to see the Packers with a running back, because when they have that running back, the entire load doesn't have to be on Aaron Rodgers, even though he can still pass to Davante Adams whenever the hell he wants.
They got a few good running backs, man. I mean, you got Jamal Williams who had a good year. Austin Dillon showed some potential. I mean, this team is all around very good. But here's the question. Are Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams the best quarterback and wide receiver duo in the NFL?
Yes.
Okay, I agree. I was going to say, or is it Mahomes and Hill? But my throat's a little dry.
It could be Mahomes and Hill. It could be A.J. Brown and Ryan Tannehill. It could be...
We're not going to say the 4th obvious one because I want to save that for the next game. But, yeah, there's a couple of good ones. But I think Rodgers and... Man, Rodgers and Adams have just been on a different level this year.
Okay, so leading up, the fourth duo, dynamic duo, is
Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs.
They're so good.
My God, is this Buffalo team good. My God, is this team exciting.
I think they are going to cruise. They're going to cruise against the Chiefs. I think the Bills will stop the Chiefs. More
if the defense can play like they did on Sunday, the Bills are going to win the Super Bowl by no less than 4 touchdowns.
Just running away.
Here's the thing, because I mean, if you look at it, their defense has been okay throughout the year. You know, they've given up a lot of points, they've had some good games, they had some tough losses, like when they gave up 42 to the Titans, and they lost a close one to the Chiefs earlier. But then they've really stepped it up when it mattered the most in the postseason. They made the stops when they had to against the Colts. And they shut down a Lamar-based run offense who everyone assumed was going to, even us, was going to run all over them.
I don't know who's going to win in the Chiefs-Bills game. I'm assuming the Bills. But I, no matter what, bet the over in that game. No matter what, bet
the over. No. Do not bet the over if Chad Henne is playing quarterback.
No, bet the over even more. Chad Henne's going to ball out against the Bills.
Chad Henne will. Here's the thing is, I can't. I don't want to talk about Chad Henne. We need to finish this game first before we talk about Chad Henne. The Bills, they dominate. I mean, Lamar looked good at times, but the offense couldn't get anything going. And the Bills' offense, I mean, Lamar threw on 101-yard pick six. That pretty much is a dagger because the Bills' off. I mean, the Bills' offense didn't look great.
Well, yeah, that was going to be a 10-10 game and end up being 17-3 final. Like, that's – it's – that was just – that's just rough. I don't know.
Yeah, it was
– Lamar Jackson didn't seem like he was in the game, though. He seemed kind of like he was struggling a bit.
He was, but he – he got some big plays, and they looked like we could get things going, and then they just fell apart. I mean, when Justin Tucker misses two field goals, though, you're kind of in a tough situation.
That hurts. And like that also could have made it an 8-point game, which is still one possession versus 14.
That's also just a big break on the sideline and with the team. Yeah. When you miss two field goals in the first half, that's really demoralizing.
That really is. Yeah. I don't know. Okay, but it's Henny time.
The Browns, I feel for you, man. I thought you guys had this game. I wanted you guys to have this game. But you let Chad Henne run 13 yards, so you don't deserve to win.
They did not deserve to win at all.
Chad Henne threw one of the worst passes I've ever seen thrown in professional football. And then somehow iced the game.
Well, he threw a absolute dart to the Browns the Browns cornerback. And
a dart is a generous term for that. That thing was like a hanging little piece of fruit. That thing just went straight up in the air, straight down into my hands.
He threw it right on the money. I don't know what you're talking about.
That was a horrible pass.
Browns, they got screwed over by the rules. It should have been a lot closer game going into the half. But overall, it's
that no helmet to the head call was one of the worst calls of the day.
Yes, yeah. But I think the most interesting thing about that game is that how the Browns made it close, even though it really wasn't.
They fought back from. They had a possession to win the game, but you never normally thought, "Oh, the Browns are about to win this game."
No, they had a possession after the interception, so they got the ball at the 20, and all you have to do is go drive down the field and score a touchdown and get a 2-point conversion, and then you're up 3. Woohoo! But I just they never it kind of seemed like they knew they were going to lose that game. Like, throughout the entire thing, I think the Chiefs were just a step ahead or two.
Yeah, I kind of got that feeling, but I mean, the Browns made it interesting. The Browns, they had some fun with it.
Yeah, they covered. That's all. That's half the battle.
Hey, good teams win, great teams cover. I hope this ends the Baker mediocre chat, though. Baker is a good player. He needs more respect.
One of the top 15 quarterbacks in the league, I would say.
You're not. I mean, top half. It's still pretty good.
Top half. Can't really complain.
Yeah. I mean, also, I'm just going to say this now because we have to. The fumbling out the side of the end zone is being a touchback is the worst rule.
I think it should go back to where the fumble was, but.
Yes, I agree.
Because that just completely screwed over the game. I don't know, because. I have so many thoughts on that. It seems so unfair that because of a simple tackle and that anywhere else on the field, a fumble gets placed where the ball went out of bounds. I don't know. It's annoying.
I don't understand why it's a touchback for the other team. I mean, it doesn't make sense.
The ball, at least.
Because then if it goes out the other part of the end zone, it's a safety.
So it's basically don't go into the end zone unless you know you're going to get a touchdown.
Yeah, it was a horrible, horrible rule. Okay, and then finally, the last game of the day, probably the last game of Drew Brees' career, Brees versus Brady, and man, this was sad to watch.
Brees looked bad.
Breeze looked horrible. I mean, there's nothing much you can do, man. He's old. He 19 to 34, 134, one TD, three interceptions. I just feel bad. That's gonna be the last time we. That's probably the last time we ever see Drew Brees play, and it's on the 3-pick game.
Drew Brees. The last time we see Drew Brees throw a football is an interception. I hate that to be his last pass.
It's depressing. But on the highlights of this game, Jameis Winston threw a dime.
Did you see a video of Drew Brees whispering to Jameis Winston, like, oh, this is your team now?
No, yeah, I did not. But, hey, let me ask you this question here. How many times have Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, Joe Montana, Dan Marino, or any other of these GOATs thrown a 30-touchdown, 30-interception season? Zero. How many times is Jameis Winston? One. Who's Jameis the real Winston. GOAT? Jameis Winston.
God, I think Jameis is going to have some targets, too. And that next year...
God, I love Jameis.
Because I don't think they're... They might go a two-quarterback system with Taysom Hill.
I think he's a free agent, though. I'm almost positive he only signed a one-year deal.
Hmm.
I'm going to fact-check that right now. Give me a second here. But, yeah, I'm pretty sure he's going to be another free agent.
Signing,
he with Yeah, but with how many teams need a quarterback, I think he'll get a contract easily.
He's not going to be like the Teddy Bridgewater of last year.
Yeah, he has. It was a one-year deal. But I think he will be the Teddy Bridgewater. There's so many teams who need quarterbacks, and there's only so many available in the draft.
There are a lot available in the draft, though. There are a ton of it.
Yeah, but here's a question. Would you rather trust these people in, like, the sixth, probably in the second or third round, who may bust, like, who knows? Here's the thing. Is Kyle Trask, I don't think he's going to be good in the NFL. I would much rather have Jameis than Trask.
But I would rather...
And that's what's going to come down to for these back of the pick. Once you even down to 15 where the Patriots are on my team, I don't think we're going to get a quarterback option who's takeable. That scares
to the Patriots.
I would love Jameis Winston to be the Patriots quarterback. He would be horrible in that system. It'd be a disaster, but it'd be entertaining.
Jameis loves to go for the big balls, and then that's literally what Bill Belichick despises. Bill Belichick doesn't want to throw the ball down the field like more than 20 yards.
Here's the thing is, Mahomes and Russell Wilson are my ideal quarterback to watch because they can move, they're quick, and I'm going to think, you know what, Josh Allen and Mahomes are my ideal quarterback. Screw Russell Wilson. He gets enough praise. Josh Allen doesn't get enough praise. Josh Allen and Mahomes are my ideal quarterbacks to watch because they can move with their legs and they just throw the ball like 90 yards and they're like, yeah,
they just don't care. They're just like, okay. Have you seen Josh Allen throw a football? He literally flicks it and it goes 50 yards.
I truly believe Josh Allen could throw end zone without breaking a sweat.
I'm sure he could. I'm sure he could. He could drop it 100 yards.
Josh Allen has a fucking cannon.
I think I'd have to see how far he throws. I know I saw a video of him throwing I think I saw a video of Patrick Mahomes on his knees throwing 70 yards.
Yeah, these quarterbacks have major arms. That's why I love it, and that's what Jameis Winston would bring to the Patriots. So yeah, it would be a disaster like Cam Newton was, but it'd be more of an entertaining disaster. Because instead of trying to run for everything and then throwing it like 5 yards short of everyone, he'd throw it 50 yards over everyone. So you're like, oh, hey, he has a big arm. Let's just run down the field.
It's just an incomplete pass.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a fun complete pass.
Exactly. But yeah, watching Drew Brees retire is going to be very sad. Very
sad.
It
feels like my childhood is just ending because I've.
It is, dude. Our childhood is ending. Think about it. Manning, gone. Brees, probably gone. Big Ben, should be gone soon. Shittier Manning, gone. Philip Rivers, probably gone. Brady, will never retire, but will probably die on the football field in a couple years.
He's not going to have a heart attack. I don't know what, because I'm sure his cholesterol is fantastic. He's just gonna win his 10th Super Bowl and he's gonna be like, all right, guys, I'm gone. I'll see you guys later.
So I got two more topics picked out for the NFL. I'm gonna let you pick which one we do first. Five head coaches being hired or Deshaun Watson?
You gotta 100% do Deshaun Watson. Houston.
All right, well, do Deshaun Watson and head coaches. There is more chance that I'm the quarterback for Houston next year than Deshaun Watson. He is not being Deshaun the quarterback Watson, for that team.
He either needs to just shut up and take his paychecks or go to New England or wherever. I don't know.
I've seen these people saying the Dolphins should trade Tua and like three first-round picks for Watson. That would be a horrible idea. Give Tua another shot, and especially don't give up
if you want Houston teams getting a ton of draft picks they don't need.
If you want to trade Watson, trade him to somewhere like a New England who will give you lots of picks.
Or like the Bears.
And the Bears I could see happen.
I don't know, maybe like the Lions.
I think the Lions are going to keep Stafford for another year and then do it. What about, like, the Broncos?
I think maybe – I guess, yeah, I could see the Broncos. What about the Cardinals? He could fit in every system.
Here, I'm going to tell you the couple teams he's definitely not going Packers. To. Buffalo, Baltimore. I'm going just by AFC first. I'm working my way down the list. Baltimore, Cleveland, Cincy, Kansas City,
yeah,
the Chargers, Green Bay, Tampa, where he doesn't retire, Seattle, and the Cardinals. That's 10 teams, I think, that he's not going to.
He's not going to be on the Texans. It's funny because he was so quiet throughout the entire year. And like the moment their season ended, it's like, oh, okay, sorry. I'm going to complain about everything.
I guess one thing he's really mad about is not getting a say in the GM job. That's been a rumor. And I just don't get that. Like, no offense to Deshaun Watson. He's obviously a superstar. I can only think of two NFL players who actually should get a say in the GM job. That's Mahomes because he's the highest paid player in the history of sports and has a $500 million contract the GM has to worry about. And Brady because he's fucking Brady and everyone loves him. I don't even think Rodgers would get that respect, honestly.
I don't think so. What about like?
I think Rodgers is one of those guys who teeters on that level. But at the end of the day, the ownership group's kind of like, nah, bro.
And then I guess like the head coaches, I haven't been keeping that big of tabs on it.
Okay, so I will read you all of them because this all came out with him. There's like three that I got announced yesterday. So it's Urban Meyer to Jacksonville, Robert Saleh to the Jets. I like it a lot too. Arthur Smith to the Falcons.
I
don't hate that.
I know that's
sounds
like
a fake guy.
The FedEx owner's son or something.
Yeah, it's something weird like that. Brandon Staley to the Chargers and Dan Campbell to the Lions.
Dan Campbell to the Lions is very interesting.
I don't like them at all. That's a dumb move. He is too inexperienced, too new.
I don't know. I guess we'll see. We'll see how it turns out. I think it all depends on the head coaches because then they get to go adjust their offensive coordinators if they need to and so on and so forth.
Well, whoever goes to Houston is going to be in a very, very unfortunate situation because the team sucks. They have no picks and their star quarterback literally wants to burn the organization.
He's
going to
burn the organization to the ground and just ask to be traded or just retire.
Yeah, he definitely does not want
to
play for that team anymore. And it is
and come back with like the Cardinals or something. Just follow his wide receivers.
That would be no. Don't do that,
no,
Tyler.
Because I don't know. I don't think Tyler's gonna be that great for too much longer.
Oh, I love Kyler. We're not going to disrespect Kyler.
Okay, well,
Kyler is like a midget with a cannon. I love it.
I know,
but he's so small. It's definitely a problem. He's so short.
All right. Well, I think that is enough for today.
Definitely enough. Thanks for listening, guys. We hope you enjoyed the show. And just remember, God bless Josh Allen.
All right, you guys. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Dropadies Podcast. My name is Daniel Keenis. I am here with my co-host, Frank Todd. We will see you guys on Thursday.